I'm going to be looking tonight at the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 is important because of what he's talking about to the people of Israel at the time. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. He was called to be a prophet only when he had actually gone into Babylonian captivity. He was born into the tribe of Levi. He was a priest under the law of Moses, and yet he could not serve as a priest because when he was taken captive into Babylon, he was not in Jerusalem. And if the priest was not at the temple, he could not serve in the capacity that they normally would, as one who would offer sacrifices and the other things that were done under the law. And he could, but he, a priest was to serve as a teacher of God's people when they were not at the temple and doing the things that priests normally did there. So he could serve as a teacher of the people. Ezekiel was called to be a prophet of God. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God." Now, Ezekiel was not in the first. There were three different times when the Babylonians came and took people of Israel into captivity. There were three different times over about 15 or 18 years that happened. Ezekiel was in the second carrying away, as far as we know. And the 30th year, the years were counted here, the 30th year of the captivity would have been about 575 B.C. as we count time. So he was there. He was still a fairly young man, and he was with the captives by the slaves by the river Chebar. And all his life he had been, and all his life to be a prophet was going to be in Babylon. He never was able, as far as we know, to go back to Jerusalem. But he was, while Ezekiel was there, Daniel was the prophet that was in the high authorities. He was the one that was became the second or third ruler in the kingdom, first of Babylon and later in Assyria, whichever one was after that. Now my mind's gone off. Okay. The Persians, that's it. He was the second leader and second authority in Babylon, and then the Persians after that. Well, Ezekiel was just an ordinary slave as far as the Babylonians were concerned. And so he was down with them at the river Chebar while Daniel was in the palace. But they were contemporaries. They were there at the same time. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 7, Ezekiel is told from God what he was to do. It says, "So you, son of man, I have set you a watchman into the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he turn not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." So he was God's messenger to the people to warn them about their sin, to come back to follow the law as best they could, even in captivity. And so God would certify that Ezekiel was indeed a prophet. In fact, chapter 33, as we're going to look at in a moment, in verse 33, he says there, at the end, he says, "Then shall they know that a prophet has been among them." And so God was going to place his seal of approval upon Ezekiel when he would be a faithful teacher and prophet of God to the people, even in Babylonian captivity. So look at chapter 33 of Ezekiel and verse 30. It says, "And as for you, son of man, the children of your people talk of you by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak to one another, every one to his brother, saying, 'Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes from the Lord.'" And so they were speaking to each other, but as we'll see from this passage, they were not speaking good things about him. They wanted to hear what he had to say, and they wanted to hear if the word of the Lord had come to him. But there was it was not going to do any much good, because they were just wanted to do this because they needed to satisfy their own curiosity about what was being said. They were speaking evil, and the sins of the tongue were against Ezekiel while he was a prophet of God. That shouldn't surprise us, because when Ezekiel was taken into captivity and Daniel was already there, that Jeremiah was still back in Israel, and the kingdom had not been destroyed yet, and they were doing the same thing to Jeremiah. And so there are examples of this in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. He says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Well, that's what they were doing against Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel some also. And so, and go over into the New Testament in James chapter 3 and verse 5. He says, "So the tongue is also a little member and boasts great things. And behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity among the members is the tongue, which defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the wheel of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beasts and birds of creeping things and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but the tongue can no man tame, for it is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." So this was the attitude, not only a time of James, but also a time of Ezekiel, of those who would speak the word of God. So he says there in verse 30, "And as for you, son of man, the children of your people, they talk of you by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak to one another, everyone to his brother, saying, 'Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that comes from the Lord.'" And so, in a way, they seemed to be sincere. They wanted to know the word of the Lord, but they weren't going to do what Ezekiel said. They weren't going to do anything about it or repent, even though they had already been taken into captivity. They still didn't want to listen truly to what God said. Now, back in Israel, which had not been destroyed yet, King Zedekiah did the same thing. He often called Jeremiah to him. In fact, he had a secret passageway into his palace for Jeremiah to come in the back way so that nobody would see him talking to the prophet. But he would ask what the Lord had said. Well, he'd listen and hear what he said, but he wouldn't do it. And so that was the same attitude that these Israelites had, even in captivity. But Ezekiel 33 and verse 31 says, "They come unto you as a people comes, and they sit before you as my people. And they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their own gain." So the first part, he says, they come before you. They recognized that Ezekiel was a prophet of God. They recognized who he was. They didn't seem to doubt that fact. And you would think they would have learned their lesson by now. Over all the prophets that had come before, told them, if you don't repent and come back to the law and do God's will, he's going to destroy you. He's going to take you into captivity. And now they've gone there and received a punishment for what they had done. Again, you'd think they'd understand it by now. They didn't. Because he says, "They sit before you as my people and hear your words." They're willing to listen to what Ezekiel said, but it was only outwardly, even as they knew this was from the true God. But they wanted to have their curiosity satisfied, maybe to be entertained also. Probably there was not much to entertain them in slavery in Babylon. So Ezekiel provided something for them to hear or to see. And sometimes there's people today that, you know, that think the responsibility of the church is to, you know, entertain people along the way. But when that entertainment begins to go away, you know, what's going to be next? And something has to replace that. But God says they hear your words, but do not do them. And that's what chapter 33 and verse 31 says. As they show much love, but their heart goes after their gain. They weren't interested really in what Ezekiel had to say. Mark chapter 6 verse 20. It says there, for Herod feared John. This is John the Baptist. It says, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe, and when he heard him, he was much perplexed, and he heard him gladly. So even Herod heard John the Baptist to hear what he had to say. He was curious about it, but he was not going to do what John said. And so God said to Ezekiel, they hear you, but they don't do what you say. But it's always been a problem with people who hear what God says but won't be willing to do it. But we have to be willing to do something different. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's not good enough just to hear it. We need to hear it and understand it. We have to put it into practice. And that's what, in fact, the book of James is all about, that idea of putting into practice what God reveals to you and me. And, of course, they had other interests also than what God wanted them to do. It says there, but their heart goes after their gain. Even in slavery, they were concerned about gaining wealth and authority and power. And we know from reading Ezekiel and Daniel and other passages when they were in captivity, and in fact, there were even different levels of slaves, that some could became very wealthy, actually, in Babylon. And they had certain powers, even though technically they were still slaves. And so that's what they were most concerned about. Not just making a living, but beyond that. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, Paul says, covetousness is idolatry. So if we replace the things of this life for the things of God, that becomes an idol to us. Just as if we make one and carve it out and then bow down before it, as many of them did in that time. So we look at Ezekiel 33 and verse 32. It says, lo, you are unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them. So, obviously, Ezekiel must have been a very entertaining speaker, and they could listen to him. He had a pleasant voice and all of those things. And they wanted to be entertained by what he had to say. And Ezekiel's message was something that they needed to hear. And they needed to do the things Ezekiel told them. He must have been an eloquent speaker, perhaps exciting, uplifting, all those things that normally we think are important, and yet they missed the point of the message. It's not good enough just to hear the message. It has to seek into the heart and mind to receive it and to believe it and act upon it. So they missed the point of what he had to say. And then there are those, of course, who want to hear those who speak well and have dynamic speech kind of patterns and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But the important thing in Christ and in God's will is what the message says, and rather than who delivers it and who receives it. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul himself said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Not because Paul said it, not because Peter might have said it or others, but because of the message itself that sinks into the heart and mind and people believe and obey it. Well, that was a problem with Ezekiel. He could speak very well. He was well received as a teacher and prophet of God. But they didn't really listen to it in the sense that they were willing to do something about it. And also, God repeated the same idea as he did before. For they hear your words, but do not do them. It was almost as if, and maybe they were mocking Ezekiel's message, even as they admired the way that he delivered it. Sounded good to their ears, but they were not inclined to do the things that Ezekiel told them. And again, you put yourself in their place for a moment and realize they were now in Babylonian captivity. They had lost their homes, most of their families, and all of these things been carried away 500 miles away to an alien country, and they still didn't get the message. They still didn't understand. And I'm convinced one of the reasons that God allowed them to spend 70 years in captivity was they had to be taught, and the next generation finally understood what God wanted them to do and would be willing to listen. And so they did the same as others who delivered God's message at the different times. Herod, for example, they had heard the message of God and during Paul's time and Jesus' time, that Herod made fun of Jesus and mocked him, and others did too. They ridiculed prophets like Elisha and Elijah and Jeremiah. The apostles, for example, also were ridiculed and made fun of, and they even tried to persecute and destroy them. In 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, the apostle Paul said, I was talking about the people, some of the people at Corinth that did not want to accept him as an apostle of Christ. And their accusation against him was, for his letters, they say, are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. Well, he wasn't very entertaining for them. He wasn't telling them what they wanted to hear. And so they were rejecting the fact that Paul was indeed a prophet of God and an apostle of Christ. And so they rejected the whole point of what Paul was delivering to them. Now, even Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, when he was nailed to the cross and his blood was being shed, they went by, they mocked him, they ridiculed him, and they told him, if you're the Christ, come down and prove it to us, we'll believe. And some said he saved others, he cannot save himself. And we remember the things that were said about him. Even while he was dying on the cross, for the very people that were doing that thing. And so Ezekiel was not unusual. It was not unusual for people to reject the message of the prophets of God. And so we looked in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 33. He says then, and when this comes to pass, behold, it comes, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. When this comes to pass, behold, it comes. Another translation says, lo, it will come. In other words, there's going to come a time when finally they're going to get it. Now, it may be too late when they realize it, but it's still going to come. Now, God will see that his work is going to be done. He will see that his will is going to be done. Regardless of whether people are willing to believe and accept it or not, it's still going to happen. And that is why we should not become discouraged when people don't listen and obey Christ today. Sometimes we come that way. We become discouraged because we're trying to help people, try to teach them, lead them to Christ, and they don't come. We need to realize, as long as we're doing what God wants us to do, that he is going to be pleased with our efforts, even if we don't live to see the result of it. But it's going to happen, and God will not forget the good that we do. And, of course, he will forgive the evil that we do for trying to do his will. But he says, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. Someone said, hindsight is easy because we can see what's happened and why. But it would be too late. They were going to find out that a prophet was among them. Now, they may not have fully understood why Ezekiel kept doing what he did, even to the point of being persecuted and everything else by them, when he was simply trying to teach them what they needed to do to serve God faithfully. But God confirmed it by fulfilling all that Ezekiel said. In Ezekiel chapter 33, if you go back to verse 23, he says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, they that inhabit those waste places in the land of Israel speak, saying, Abraham was one, and he inherited the land, but we are many, and the land is given us for an inheritance. Therefore say unto them, Thus says the Lord God, You eat that wheat with blood, and lift up your eyes to your idols, and shed blood, and you shall possess the land. You stand upon your sword, and you work abomination. You defile every one his neighbor's wife, and shall possess the land. Thus shall you say to them, Thus says the Lord God, As I live, surely that they that are in the waste places shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field I will give to the beasts to be devoured, and they that are in the strongholds and in the caves shall die of the pestilence, and I will make the land a desolation and an astonishment, and the pride of her power shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, so that none shall pass through. Then shall they know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolation and an astonishment, because of all their abominations which they have committed. Now again, like I said before, when Ezekiel wrote this, the land of Israel was still there. It had not yet been destroyed. The Babylonians had not finally conquered it and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and burned it and looted all the gold and silver out of it. It was going to come. But God says this is going to happen. It's going to come upon them. So the people where Ezekiel was, who were already in captivity, they needed to understand. They had been there a while, a few years, most of them, and it wasn't going to end immediately. There was going to be another 40 years or so of captivity, and there would be many more coming into captivity from there when Jerusalem was destroyed. But notice what God says about Ezekiel in verse 35. It says, When this comes to pass, behold, it comes, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. But what title did God use for Ezekiel? He called him Son of Man. Now, if you read through, especially the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, that's a term that became kind of a designation of a prophet of God, kind of a title for one. And it was the ultimate Son of Man, of course, that came later, and that was Christ. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus asked his disciples, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So Jesus was identifying himself as a prophet of God, as a true prophet of God, just as Ezekiel had been addressed by that terminology before. Jesus took that for himself, and for him it was to emphasize he was God, but he was a man also. He was God in the flesh, like us. So he used that terminology, Son of Man, to show that he was God's prophet. In fact, he was the ultimate prophet. And so Jesus identified himself as a human on the earth also, showed to be a prophet of God and God in the flesh. But he says in Ezekiel chapter 33, Then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. In other words, they will know that you are a prophet. They may hear you now, and they're not going to do what you say. They'll reject you. They may bad things about you. They may persecute you. But they will know at some point that there is a prophet among them. But how is that going to be? Well, it's going to be by God's confirmation of them and the things that Ezekiel said, and by the word of his action. In case of Ezekiel, the total destruction of Jerusalem is going to come. It had not happened yet, but it would be in a very short period of time. And so there would be no doubt left that Ezekiel was indeed a prophet of God. I'll turn now back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18, it says there, this is God speaking to Moses, and Moses delivering God's message to the people. He says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now go over to the New Testament, you'll find that passage is quoted in the New Testament. And of course, Jesus is that prophet. That's why, for example, when Jesus began and John the Baptist first began his personal ministry. They went around asking, "Are you that prophet?" Because they were looking for this prophet to prepare the way for the Lord. They were looking for the Lord himself to send this prophet. And so that's what they were looking for in that time. The final prophet, of course, was Christ. And just as if they did not obey the voice that Ezekiel had that God gave him, if we don't obey what God says through Christ, well, God's not going to bless us either. But if we do, if we believe him and we obey him, we'll receive a reward and a blessing now and for all of eternity. The people there needed to understand that God was loving and gracious enough to send them Daniel and Ezekiel, even in captivity, to tell them what to do and how to serve God. And they rejected most of it. But there were those who did believe and obeyed and followed the Lord, and they were blessed for it. Now, this evening, if you have a need in your life, if you need to come, for whatever reason they may be, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.